I wonder how you would characterize the relationships in your life. If you had to give just one word that summarized a relationship in your life, I wonder what that word would be. It could be close. It could be distant. It could be good. It could be bad. It could be relaxed. It could be tense. It could be non-existent. It could be loving. It could be destructive. And the list could go on and on as we just threw out those words that describe the relationships in our lives. And so often our relationships and the state of those relationships says a lot about us. The connection that we have with other people around us says a lot about who and what we are. And all those words that we use to describe those relationships, well, they should set us thinking. We've been looking at this letter of 1 Peter, and really the theme running through it is how to stand firm in a world that's shaky, a world that's changing, a world that sometimes we find difficulty in recognizing because it has changed so much so quickly. How do we stand firm in that? And Peter has helped us over these last few weeks, reminding us of our identity in Jesus Christ. Here's our basis for who and what we are. We find our true identity in Jesus. Everything else can be taken away from us, but that identity that we have in Jesus Christ is firm, unshakable. And so we begin to stand firm in this shaky world. We looked at how it's important that we understand what we believe, because what we truly believe shows itself in the lives we live. What we truly believe comes out in how we behave. So knowing what we believe and believing the right things is so important to standing firm in a world that's increasingly shaky. Last week, we looked at what it is to be building together as brothers and sisters in Christ and the strength that we find in each other as we build upon that cornerstone who is Jesus. Peter gives us so much very practical help on how to stand firm. And today, I want us just to look briefly at what the Bible has to say about these relationships. One of the other ways that we stand firm in this world is to have relationships which honor God. And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Do my relationships with other people, are those relationships God-honoring? Are those relationships helping me and other people stand firm in this world for Jesus? Or we could ask ourselves just that very basic question, am I humbly grateful or grumbly hateful in my relationships? Our relationships are so important. And so Peter begins this passage, which Pam read for us just a few minutes ago, simply with this instruction, submit yourselves. For the Lord's sake. Now, sometimes we only hear the first bit of that. Sometimes we only hear, you need to submit yourself, you need to be submissive. That's not the whole thing. We submit ourselves for the Lord's sake. We submit ourselves so that Jesus is given glory and honor. We live our lives, we work out our relationships in a way that honors Jesus. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. This is the Jesus who came to serve, not to be served. This is the Jesus who was obedient to the will of his heavenly Father, even when it meant death on a cross. So we need to remember all those things that Peter has said and placed before us, our identity in Jesus, the belief that we have, living it out, behaving it, and in building together. And then these relationships, be thankful, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. So Peter shows us how that works out, and he gives us three examples. First of all, in verse 13, he calls us to submit to every authority instituted among men. Every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. Submit yourselves to authority. Now, it'd be fairly easy to write that command if you lived in a place where you were treated very kindly, very gently, where everything was wonderful, where life was just easy. We need to remember that Peter, as he wrote this, is living under one of the most horrible persecutions in the history of the Christian church. Emperor Nero is on the throne, a cruel despot. His cruelty was just beyond bounds. It's said that when he was holding dinners in the palace, the driveway up to the palace would be illuminated by Christians who were burning. And Peter says, submit to every authority instituted over you. Not because it's nice, not because you find it easy, but you do it for the Lord's sake. You do it so that Jesus is honored. The Bible teaches that submission to authority is expected as long as it doesn't involve violation of the law of God. So Jesus was to say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Recognize the authority. Respect the authority. Submit to the authority. But only insofar as it doesn't violate the law of God. Romans 13 makes it very clear that God has established authority. And so when we rebel against authority, we need to be careful that we're not rebelling against God too. It's a challenge to us. We are called to pray for our leaders. Listen to what Paul says, his advice to Timothy, this young Christian man. Paul gives him advice. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for all kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I read this recently. Somebody suggested that we actually spend a lot more time listening to the news than we do praying for those who are in the news. We spend more time going through our papers, watching on TV, on the internet, whatever, however we get our news. We spend more time actually listening to the news than we do praying for those who are in the news. Imagine the difference it would make if we spent as much time praying for those in authority as we do grumbling about them. It's easy for us to sit on the sidelines and be critical of those who have this job of ruling us, this job of being in government, this job of making huge decisions. And we sit in our armchairs and we grumble. What a difference it would make if we spent as much time praying for those folks as we do listening to them. Submit to those in authority. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to each of us. How do we respond to those who've been placed in government over us? Grumbly hateful or humbly grateful? So there's one example. Peter says this needs to work itself out. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to those who have authority over you. Also, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters. Now, slavery, modern day slavery, is a great reality, but it's It's not technically the same as it was in Paul's day, when slavery was quite open and part of society. And again, living as a slave was not always easy. I'm sure there were masters and mistresses who were very good to their slaves, looked after them well, but I'm sure also there are times when slaves were horribly treated. What about us? How do you relate to those who have authority over you in work? Wherever it is that you go to work. I hope you don't call yourself a slave there, but you have someone who has authority over you there. How do you relate to them? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Now, it doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean being trampled on and allowing yourself to be trampled on. But it does mean, and verse 17 makes it clear, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Respect for people, two reasons. One is that we're all made in the image of God. And so we all should be respecting, honoring each other because we bear in ourselves something of the image of God. Everyone. We need to respect each other. But also, people who have authority over you in work, we need to respect them because of their authority. They have that position. And none of this may be easy. Peter makes it quite clear in this little passage, in fact, you may even be treated unfairly if you show respect, if you do what's right. But he also makes it clear it's important that if you do suffer, then suffer for doing what's right. Suffer for doing what's good, not for doing what's wrong. So we live lives that are lived for the Lord's sake, for his honor, for his glory. We respect each other. And so you've got this wonderful example, and Peter weaves it in and out through his instruction to us when he points to Jesus and said, this is the Jesus who committed no sin, verse 22 of this passage. The Jesus who committed no sin, the Jesus who is perfect. And look how he was treated. Look how he was treated. Look how he responded. We're called to respect those in authority over us. Live in a respectful relationship to those who have authority in land and in work. The beginning of chapter 3 brings us from the nation, from the workplace, back to the home when the doors are closed. And we're also called that to show that same respect to each other there. Peter talks about wives submitting to husbands, not because they have to, but because they want to for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. And again, it's not to be a doormat. It's not to be an opening to abuse. It should be quite the opposite. It's so that Jesus is seen in the relationships in our home. Now, I have to say, probably if we as men were husbands who lived the way we're called to live, being a wife in that home would be a lot easier. We're called to love our wives just as Jesus loved the church with his whole heart, sacrificially, unconditionally. And I suspect if we loved our wives in that way, wives wouldn't have a problem in submission. We're called to show the same respect to those in authority over us in government, to those who have authority over us in a workplace and in our homes. Submission and respect for the Lord's sake. And so we need to ask ourselves about those relationships, whether it's work, whether it's our marriage relationships, whether it's our relationship with those in politics and in government. How are the relationships in your life? It goes back to that first question. How do you relate to those in authority? How do you relate with those in work? How do you relate to those that you live with? For the Lord's sake, and for your own. Because Peter is quite clear, this is one of the ways that we're going to stand firm in this shaky world, when we have these solid relationships, built on submission, built on respect for each other. But the other thing is this, we have to build those relationships on something, or rather someone. So this morning I simply want to ask you this very, very basic question: how's your relationship with Jesus? Because this is where all of our other relationships flow from. If we do not have this relationship with Jesus, then how can we have other relationships that honor him? How can we love each other and submit to each other and respect each other for the Lord's sake if we don't have this basic relationship with that same Lord? Peter reminds us, he's the one who bore our sins. He's the one whose wounds are for our healing. So how is your relationship with Jesus? And it is so important. This is the Jesus who said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." So all the other things that we do to try and get ourselves into God's good books, Jesus says, that's not how it's done. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Our relationship with him is fundamental. Without this, we can do nothing. Nothing of importance. Nothing of eternal value. How is your relationship with Jesus? Sometimes people talk about heaven as though they will get to the pearly gates and they'll pull out a notebook that lists all the good things they've done. Look what I did. Look how I treated him and her. Look how generously I gave. Look how much time I gave to work going on in the church. And they'll go through this notebook and simply list all the wonderful things I've done. And because of everything that's in my notebook, God, I deserve to be in your heaven. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So on that day, the only question of any worth will be, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with this Jesus who bore your sins? What have you done with this Jesus whose wounds are for your healing? And if we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, that will be a day of rejoicing. That will be a day, the Bible says, when heaven breaks out into a party, celebrating that we have come home. But if on that day we have to hang our heads because either by choice or by indifference or by apathy, we have done nothing with Jesus or rejected Jesus, then that will be beyond being sad. Because God will simply accept the choice we've made, and we will spend eternity without him. How's your relationship with Jesus? It's so important, not just for our relationships here, but for all eternity. May God give us the grace and the courage to look at our relationship with Jesus and to do business with him. Let's pray together.